Welcome to Scan.org. My name is Martin, and today I'd like to present a review of the successful defense of the Nightcap Range. That's a pristine wilderness near the village of Nimbin. I interviewed first Mari and then Dai, two dedicated long-time activists involved in the conservation and protection of forests. I'll start with Mari.
Hi, Mari. You are involved in the Nightcap history gathering, forest gathering. Would you tell us, please, what this is all about here?
Well, 25 years ago, a group of people dared to put their bodies on the line and dared to try and stop bulldozers ripping down beautiful, beautiful, huge, I can't emphasize the word huge enough, rainforest trees. And so now we're doing the 25-year celebration of what these people have achieved in that in the 4 months where they lived up there on Mount Nardi, and how they actually went about stopping the logging and made law changes, you know, because they went before the Environment Court and they successfully got the Environment Court to say, stop the logging. And now it's a national park, World Heritage National Park.
So let's just bring our listeners onto the history. That was 1982, mm-hmm. Gather. And it is it's a locality nearby Nimbin.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it was pristine forest protected. So there is a gathering now. It's like a lot of historical things happening right now. But can you tell us a bit more how this all went down then? Were you involved yourself?
No. As an activist, an Australian activist, I've always heard the stories, the legends of what the 82 Nightcap Forest and the Terania Keep protesters achieved. So coming to this region, it was one of my personal goals, was to be able to, number one, learn what it is that they actually did, go into the forest and see what they saved, and with a bit of luck, meet some of the people. And wouldn't you know it, Martin, I've achieved all three goals. Because what they did was they set a whole new benchmark for protesting around the world. They were so innovative in their peaceful approach to what they did that it set a whole new process in motion for activism and around Australia and around the world, and they've just built upon it ever since.
Can we say that the Franklin Dam and the Nightcap Forest were two of the outstanding examples of activism then?
I'd put Jabiluka in there as well. There's actually a few places. Yes, the Daintree as well. Australia, you know, when we folk decide to put our minds together and put our bodies together as one, we can achieve enormous things, and the Nightcap is proof of that.
So in this context now in 2007, when people gather and commemorate this, would you think that it could have an influence on contemporary activism?
Absolutely.
Form?
Well, Martin, as we all know, Australia is now going to the next federal election. Mm. So we've been undergoing massive campaigning over all forms of media by the government on how wonderful they are. Well, I don't know about you, but I start yawning because I don't believe a word that they say.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can get involved in the commemoration, celebration, reunion of the Nightcap Forest protesters and feel good about myself and feel good about life and positive about life instead of listening to the politicians who just, sorry, I can't believe a word that they say. I would rather focus on something that is real and attainable than the other. Yeah.
Now, that's a very sharp recognition of the media presently working. It's not just Australia, I guess. It's all over the English-speaking world, as I gather, that grassroots, greens, activists for defending causes of genetic modified food, all sorts of issues, are getting, what you call it, demonized by corporate media, by sections of corporate media, not all across the board. But would you think that grassroots media could play a vital role in changing the balance of the view on these, what we call obscured activism, or what the mainstream would call obscure, because we know about it, but the mainstream has blocked it out?
It's imperative. It must be done. To me, it's a core objective of mainstream, of primary or grassroots community style media, because it's the only way that we, number one, get to express ourselves in difference to the government, and number two, for the listener or the reader to be able to read something alternative to the government's spin. We must do this. We must educate ourselves. And I think that Australia in particular, we've been complacent, you know, the hip pocket's been number one. And because we've also fought some major battles, we can sit back a little bit, but no, we've now got to reactivate and come forward, because Australia is looking at going nuclear. We're talking Australia-wide nuclear. We're talking about, you know, rain tree forests being turned into fax paper. This is criminal neglect. It's criminal action. And we as a people have to start saying, where's our priorities? Instead of just giving climate change a bit of nicety, or I'll offset it with some carbon something or other over there in Egypt or something. Get real. It's here and it's now. And every time one of those big trees come down, we as a nation come down. It can never, ever be replaced. And the John Howards of this world and the politicians, unless we the people start saying things, they're just going to continue to do it. However, with the terrorism, and I call it a manufactured industry, terrorism, as you saw with the APEC meeting in Sydney, snipers, guns on the roof.
Making.
They could pin that onto any Australian, legitimate Australian person at that time. Don't tell me it's a democracy. Don't tell me we got freedom of speech. The people of Australia were not allowed on the streets. And since when is the Australian army to be used to put their sights upon Australian people? No go.
Yeah. Oh, that's very well articulated, Mario. Thank you for that. Shall we come back to the event of the nightcap commemoration, just run down what's happening?
Well, as you can see, it's a pretty busy time, because it's located in two positions. One is at the original campsite called Stumps, which is on Mount Nardi. We're talking rainforest, absolutely beautiful. And that's where the protesters were all those years ago. And that's where they dug in, and it's where they made it happen. So we're digging in again up there now. The leader of us, Lisa Yates, she's up there now trying to erect marquees on uneven ground, but she will achieve. So up there for 5 days, there's camping. We've got a shuttle bus running up and down, and people can go up there and camp. Now, they must be self-sufficient. They must be forest friendly, you know, no going off and toileting in the bush, etc. You have to be aware of what you're doing. But we've also got workshops happening, entertainment, we've got food being cooked up there, and it's an opportunity for activists to get together and storytell, past, present and future, with some very, very good local musicians to back the whole thing.
I wanted to just ask, we've got performance artists coming in.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole lineup of the Nimbinites, the well-known Nimbinites, who will be performing up on Mount Nardi on Friday night. But down here in the town, so whilst we've got the camp happening up there on Mount Nardi, down here in town, we've got this historic exhibition. You know, we've got actual photographs, news cuttings, all of that sort of thing of what those amazing people achieved all that time ago, with film footage of the actual protests, etc., music, all of that sort of thing. And on Saturday night in the Nimbin Town Hall, we've got the Forest Ball, come dressed as a tree, and a beautiful food, you know, nourishing food, protest type food, you know, all that sort of thing. And of course we've got the big draw of the painting done by a local artist, Barry Jerome, and we've got the musicians just lined up, we've got poets. I'm the MC, wouldn't you know I'd be doing that, Martin. But it's going to be a great night, you know, just forest, think forest the whole way through it.
What can we hope to get some media coverage for this?
We're on ABC Lismore this morning. We're coming out in the Northern Star on Friday, you know, all of those. So we're getting major media coverage, as well as that important media coverage of local. Well, media is an outlet of information, and it's there for the people. It's not there for commercialism. And we're using it, you know, as activists, we know how to make it look good, present it so that it's acceptable to mainstream media, and then run our agenda right the way through it. So, yes, Martin, we've knocked on the doors and we've well and truly opened them.
We have no specific website for this event, but
yes, we do.
You do? Have you got an URL?
It's www.nightcapforestfestival.com.
You are together, guys.
Complete photo series. The story of the nightcap. It's all up. Everything is on the web. And the last time I looked, it was like 800 hits. So.
Okay, yeah. Guys, you heard the website. Would you like to repeat it just to make it known? You can actually on the net find that.
www.nightcapforestfestival.com.
Brilliant. Would you like to say something to my audience?
To whom?
To my audience, but my radio show is an internet show now, so I've got a different type of audience, that's why.
Well, what I say is that this is the power of people. You, Martin, are a person, and you're using your power to communicate around the world in an alternative way. Thank you.
Well, thanks for your contribution and for coming forward with this great event. I might turn up myself and queue
Please
up
do.
With the
Please
ABC do. And MFM and
yes.
all the others. Bay FM.
Yes.
Thanks, Bay FM, again.
Yes.
Well, a couple of days later, I spoke with Di, a participant of the 1982 event. Here we go. Oh, good day, Di. I'm so glad I met you because Mari Cameron pointed out you on a poster from 1982. No, we've done that interview the other day, but that's all right.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask you, how come you are on this in this involved in the nightcap protest?
Well, I initially had the feeling that there were enough people downtown and up the mountain to look after things, so I was still doing cabbages and kids at home, and one hot day I was in the garden and Gummy Mark Bloomhall came up and said, "Di, we need you to come down and help us." And I said, "Oh, it's all right. There's plenty of people. You don't need me, Gum." And he said, "Di, they're going to log your catchment." And that was the clincher.
Uh-huh.
As soon as I realized that they were going to log, and I said, "No, they're not." And I dropped my spade and went straight downtown and was there for months afterwards.
So what did you guys do there? Like, how did you, did the loggers and the police come and try to claim it, or what happened?
No. We had spies, policemen's wives, which was really lovely. We knew that the loggers were going to come through up on Mount Nardi. It was imminent. There were people up there already. We set up a phone tree, so as soon as there was any action, I'd ring three people, they'd each ring 10 people. And it was a very mobile population. It was really good. People arrived very quickly. And the loggers arrived at 3 o'clock one morning with a huge police escort and bulldozers and trucks and you name it. But my main involvement was in the office here, organizing publicity and gathering donations. And there were locals who grew food, fresh vegetables and things. They dropped those in for the camp people, saying, "Don't tell my neighbors I'm doing this, Di. They won't understand." Righto, I won't tell anybody, but that was really nice. Yeah, there were some good stories. The donations rolled in, which meant that we could keep things going. Uncle Lyle Roberts came one day. This was a bit of a prickly. Still get prickles about it. He came in one day with an entourage, and I said to him, "Lyle, look, we need a hand. Why aren't your people here?" Because there were no Bundjalung people, no Koori people up there. And he said to me, "Di, no, Di." He said, "It's the white black people that are going to save the mountain." And he was quite happy with that. He didn't think that there was anything else that was needed.
Yeah, pointy articulation there. Well, was this transmitter tower already there then?
Or? Oh, yes, that's been up there for eons.
Claimed forever.
So I didn't actually see much upfront action. I got all the stories when I got back to the camp in the evening. There was another notable event that occurred. I was opening the mail one day and people were sending checks from all over Australia. In fact, all over the world they were sending us money to help defend this action. And I opened and there was a bank check, a Commonwealth bank check for $1,000, totally anonymous. And on the back it said, "The mountain is live." So that became a slogan for us on a lot of the posters from there on in. That was quite extraordinary. You know, our donations maximum $20, maybe $100. So, and to end that story, when everything was finished and we were working out the books and seeing what money was left over, we had $1,000. So we sent it up to the Daintree with the same thing, a bank check, and on the back, "The mountain is live." I haven't had any feedback from those guys, but it seemed like the right thing to do at the time. Oh, gee, look, I don't know. Lots of people arrested. It took 4 years to get all of that thrown out of court, finally. Our legal team was just amazing. We had Michael King as our solicitor, who was running at the time with a man called Dean Letcher, who was the barrister. And I think now the famous Murray Wilcox, who was then a QC, who's since recently retired as a judge. And they did a fantastic job. We also had the backing and the help of the Australian Conservation Foundation, who, contrary to the belief that I put up the money, I really didn't. ACF covered us on that one. Goodness me. At the time, I think I didn't even have a car. I lived in a bush shack and I lived on Turnbull Falls, so my net assets were a bush shack and a $200 share. So no $17,000 coming from this pocket.
What do you think for contemporary, bringing us to 2007, what can this protest give the people who haven't been there, or the young people particularly?
Well, I hope the stories will inspire them. It was a historical event. It was the first time ever that that sort of thing had been done in Australia. They've since changed the laws, though, of course, and created areas where, like, no-go areas.
Well, people who doubt that it is worth it, they should come here and have a look at it now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There is areas that we did save that have never been logged, and I recommend that people go and have a look at it. It's just beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Di.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to scan.org once again. If you wish, you can check out www.nightcapforestfestival.com for all the details. Please also visit our website nimbinradiomedia.libsyn.com, and Libsyn spelled as in Liberated Syndicate. Or you can simply Google Nimbin Radio Podcast, and then you can find other free downloads. My name is Martin, and it was a pleasure to have had your company.